Hello, this is another podcast of the Hill Hacks movement, and my name is Sva, and I welcome you from one of the beaches in Kerala. We are in Kovalam, and on my side is Cherry.
Hill Hacks in the name of Kovalam Beach, like Kerala, the Kovalam Beach, like Pangi area, is very swagatham.
That was already a lot in a language which they speak here. How's the language called?
Malayalam.
Okay, and what did you say?
I said, welcome to the beautiful beach of Kovalam in Kerala.
So, in the background you also hear the waves. I hope it's not too annoying. And regarding the background, so the reason why we are here is we just made this hill hacks in Dharamshala in the mountains in the Himalayas, and it happened in October, so now is already mid-end November, and it got like very cold up there, so we thought we go down. Also, Cherry is part of the Gomakart Infinity Hackspace since a year or two, and we were always talking about going down to the beach and like to the palms and to the sea. Yeah. And so now we finally made it. So we were around, like at the moment we are 8 people, and some already left, some will be still incoming. So I guess at the end we will be around like 10, 15 people who like passed this place. Also we have some like connects to some locals and stuff. So like as we are now in this beautiful paradise place, a lot of ideas arose, and we are still pretty busy with finalizing the last hill hacks, kickstarting the next hill hacks, which is going to be in the last week of May and beginning first week of June. So, but roaming around in this place brings us, as usual, to the idea, okay, I want to stay here, this is paradise. So what to do? We need a space. So in the Himalayas, we already have this concept of the hack base. So usually a hacker space is in a city. People come there after work, or students come there during the day, or other people come there during the day. People spend there the weekend. People have events. It's like a workshop, like a third space, which you have in addition to your home and to your workspace.
It's also like a place of extreme natural beauty, which is something that we share here in Kovalam as well. So it's kind of a common thread between the two spaces.
Yeah. So up there in the mountains, we already have a hackerspace which is not in a city, and which is not about just getting together in the evenings and like sharing a workshop, sharing a living room. And it's more about living together, and also very much about shaping the place where we are in. So in the Himalayas, we are in a little village, and yeah, we are quite engaged with the local community. And the special thing with that place is that it provides residencies, so people can be there and stay there for months and months if they want to, and yeah, just hang around, engage with the local projects, but also they can just work on their own stuff, like freelancers, people who are admins of like servers, who can just work everywhere. They can just stay in the mountains. They can stay everywhere when there's internet. So Cherry, tell us. So, Cherry is the local from here. So you've heard that at the beginning, in that strange language. So tell us, you already had some plans for this region, even if before you heard about Gomakart. Maybe tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so the idea is very simple. Kovalam is a place where a lot of tourists come during sort of the best time of year weather-wise. They come down to experience the beach. Most of them come from Europe or Russia or North America, places in northern climates which don't have, you know, great weather, usually in winter. And what happens is that they kind of spend time in what was formerly a fishing community. People here used to fish for a living. And now there's sort of this sort of interface where there's moneyed tourists coming in into a poor context. And so the idea came to me that, you know, this is in a context where India has a lot of technically relevant people who have technical training, who can sort of get involved in building contexts in which there are constructive interactions between these people in terms of maybe transferring skills of various sorts, technical or like life skills or maybe professional skills. And so we called it like Kovalam Eruthukalari, and an Eruthukalari is basically Malayalam for a school. And so the idea was to kind of bring together sort of people from disadvantaged backgrounds, which most of the fishing communities along the coast are anyway, and people from sort of mainstream, middle-class, educated India, and tourists and people who are interested from overseas in working in an exotic location, and bringing them into a sort of central space where the sort of constructive engagement takes place with the local community.
So on the one hand side, with this project which you called KAK, you want to engage the locals who are living here and who have some particular skill set, as well as the local from the wider area. So pretty close to this place there's Trivandrum, or this city also. Say it again.
Trivandrum.
That's the name of the city. If you go to South India, like you go to India on the map and you go to South, then on the left hand side you find a city with a really, really long name.
Yeah.
So that is
Thiruvananthapuram.
And if you cannot speak this, then you can also call it Trivandrum. And so there's a quite a reasonable Indian city close which has quite some community which can be engaged in that. And as well, you want to focus on like the random tourist actually, who it happens in India often that people are on travel and they are long-termish on travel, and they're just like, okay, I want to volunteer, give me a bed, give me some food or mattress, and I just teach the kids in like English and stuff like that.
And lots of amazing things have come out of this kind of thought process sometimes. So for example, one of the things that the local kids can do is to swim. They swim really well, they swim like fish. And so how do you convert that kind of skill into something useful, right? And so we have organizations like the Kovalam Surf Club, where, you know, young people, local lads who don't have any other means of income, are actually able to train sort of tourists who want to learn how to surf and make a living out of it.
So, which is actually quite impressive. So we just met here at the beach some people, and Sherry, we were like, oh, hey, and talked to them, and then he was introducing us and telling that he was actually teaching those guys, like youngsters, when they were in school, and that now that they're coming from a very, very poor background, from one of those fisher families, and now they are surf teachers, and they charge for an hour more than a mid well-educated web developer. So that was quite impressive for the guys. They were looking like, what? He's charging that amount for like 1 hour of surfing?
Yes, exactly.
And I was also a little bit disappointed because I thought I will take some surfing lessons. Maybe I still do it. But anyway, so it's about engaging the people and also kind of taking responsibility for like some particular topics. So it doesn't even have to be about IT, which like maybe our audience is assuming us very much.
Yeah.
It can be everything like surfing, skateboarding, we also have seen, but we will come to this. So this is what you already have in mind, and you did set up a mailing list on that, and there's a website which you might want to mention.
We can put the link up online. It's a slightly longish kind of name.
So this is what already happened, and what we now have in mind, as I said, like staying here for longer, that needs a space. So there are already some spaces of initiatives, but having a space like Gomakart, where people can stay in residencies long term, short term, or even also just for a weekend visit. Because, for example, from Bangalore, this place is just an overnight bus, very, very comfortable overnight bus. And so, yeah, people can just come over the weekend and hang around at the beach, or maybe take Monday and Friday off and all these things.
Yeah.
So it would be very convenient to have a space, a base, and also like the usual hackerspace setup, like a workshop with some brief, like some basic tools, some soldering irons, like what I'm used to be, like in Europe, like every city I know, like if something breaks, I just go to the hackerspace. I know they have a hammer, they have a screwdriver, and they have some soldering irons, and can just be there. And also I know they have a kitchen, and I can just hang around, and like I can pretty much expect infrastructure. So, or pretty much the same infrastructure everywhere. So this, we don't have that much in India so far, but I super much love the idea of setting this up outside of the city. So we have it now set up in Dharamshala, so maybe we can set it up on the opposite side of the country. So that's one thing, to set up a space, a base. That's a very open idea. So what I imagine is definitely having a house directly at the beach, surrounded by the palms,
yeah.
Not being like in the middle of the touristy places, but also not being too far away from them.
Yeah.
And like using the infrastructure of the touristy places, but not being inside of them.
Yeah.
Like similar as we have it in Dharamshala. So McLeodganj is like the crowded place where we go on a Saturday, and we're always glad to get home into our village. So yeah, that's one thing about the space. Or do you want to add something?
I think there's potential for this. Where, I mean, there's a long coastline, and there's a lot of choice, and I think it's a balance of kind of finding the right atmosphere with the right elements for accessibility. There's an airport that's not, you know, very far away. It's about 20 kilometers away. The road infrastructure is great. The 3G connections here for internet mostly is fantastic. You can get DSL almost up to the beach, so that's great as well. So infrastructure-wise, I think we're okay. It's just a matter of finding the right kind of balance between sort of, you know, safety and like the ability to kind of reach a place and the ability to kind of, you know, access the beach and also sort of balance that with not being too urban and sort of not too crowded. And I think it's possible. We've kind of been walking around to find the right kind of balance.
Yeah, so we just walked around a little bit up north and up south, and that gave a brief idea. So it's very impressive how the scene changes.
Yes.
So at this beach, it's very touristy, so I'm running around in like short skirts, and as soon as I leave the beach, or let's say the beach area, I pretty much want to wear Indian clothing again, and so the scene changes very much. But the beaches are beautiful, and the place looks very promising. To find somewhat of a shack at the beach,
yeah,
or build up one, should be very much doable. So yeah, that's one of the plans. Like very long term is to have a space. And another thing is, the usual, let's run some events.
Yeah.
First of all, doing some stuff with the local community already, like making short introductions in whatever mapping and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But also having one event where we can invite all you guys.
Yes, absolutely. I think that'll be quite interesting, not only just to sort of bring people, because only when you come here, do you understand like the pull of the place. We're sitting right, you know, within sight of a lighthouse with beautiful waves coming towards us in between two fishing boats, you know, and this is like 10:30 at night, and Spas having a cigarette, and behind us, you know, we've got all the, you know, the shops are kind of wound down now, but it, you know, it's still quite nice here.
And very good restaurants.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Very expensive.
Depends.
Yeah. I mean, the food, Sva was saying about the food she had, European food she had, which was almost authentic. Like, she couldn't tell the difference between what she'd get in Europe and here.
Yeah, so. I had a very good Swiss rösti with bacon, which was very, very original. And I was very impressed, because there's also a German place which was not very good. But anyway, so an event, I mean, the idea of having an event in South was roaming around ever since we had the idea to have an event in North. because India is like very big, and for some people it's just not possible to travel all around to the other side of the country. And by choosing Dharamshala as a place, we were aware of the fact that some people cannot reach the place because we are like pretty far at the edge of the country.
It takes about 24 hours fastest, even if you fly, because of the connections to get to Dharamshala from here in Kovalam. So just to give you an idea of how far it is.
Yeah, so we were sometimes asked, why don't you make this event in Bangalore? But I mean, there's a lot of reasons why we did Hill Hacks in Dharamshala. And not only because of the name, I mean, the name arose out of the location. But anyway, everyone who knows about Hill Hacks knows that the place is very important for the whole thing itself. So having Hill Hacks now in May, June region, and maybe in the future even more April-ish, is giving us the chance to maybe go for a southern event in the autumn time, in the European autumn time. So October, November would be very beautiful. So monsoon already stopped, but it still rains here. It's similar than in Dharamshala. There's rain all over the year a bit, but it's fine. Swimming in the rain is very beautiful.
Some years, it depends on the year. Some years, this time of year, is very, you know, beautiful. The sun is out. It's not too hot, so because it's winter, whereas it's freezing cold in Dharamshala. So, you know, it makes sense to kind of move.
Yeah, and also in Germany. So we got the message of one of our German visitors of Hill Hacks. He just reached home yesterday, and he was like writing me in IRC, Bernie, don't come home. It's already minus degrees at night. There he's laughing.
It should be about 26 degrees centigrade here.
So we are sweating here at the beach at like 11 o'clock. So yeah, but anyway, I mean, we just made the first Hill Hacks, so let's not make huge dreams of this. But that would be like a long-termish idea to have like a second event in a similar style, community-based, contribution-wise, only contribution-based and all these things. And besides that, we are thinking about local engagement projects. Like, sure, if you want to set up a space here, we don't want to be in a bubble of our world. We want to engage with the world itself. So there is already plenty of initiatives like all over in India. And one of them, Cherry, has some kind of a connect because he was volunteering there, and like he knows all the people, and he's like engaged with them since many, many years. So
that's right. So that project was started by a Belgian tourist about 15 years ago. He came to lie on the beach and get some sun, and then he kind of wandered around a bit further away and realized that actually, you know, outside of the tourist areas, it's quite poor, and people, you know, don't have basic things like basic education. Some families which have gone off the radar of government sort of welfare programs needed very basic things like basic healthcare, sometimes even food aid. And so he started this very grassroots organization called SISP, and the website is sisp.be for Belgium. And he's been doing wonderful work in the community. He's really well loved and respected here. Most of the other projects, like the Kovalam Surf Club and the newer one is the Kovalam Skate Park, all came out from this basic sort of engagement with the community that Paul Gelder, who's a founder, Paul Van Gelder, he started it.
So the core of this project was actually the school, right?
That's correct, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So what he did, he founded a school.
Yeah. So it's a second chance education for kids who have completely fallen off the education radar of the government. Kids who either sort of wander around on the beach begging, or like, you know, don't have a chance to get into the education system. And so they get them in, they school them, they pay the family sometimes a fee to encourage them to come into school. And then there's also encouragement. If you go regularly to school, then you get a free surfing lesson on the weekend. And so, you know, you pick up stuff like that. So there's lots of encouragement like that. And then the objective is to get them to pass a very important a high school examination called the SSLC examination, which is like the high school leaving certificate examination. And once they have crossed that, then they're sort of in the system, back in the system again, and then, you know, they can re-engage with the workforce. Yeah. So that's the idea.
So we visited that place and the school, it's pretty much a school. And also what I found very impressive is that the school is not based on age. It's only based on ability groups. That I find a very interesting approach. It might be very difficult sometimes to have like teenagers together with kids, together with grown-ups. But apparently it works because they do it since 15 years.
Yes.
And so at the school there's this skate park, which we already mentioned, which by the way you can donate for an improvement of the skate park, or actually a second skate park outside.
Yes, this is for the smaller kids.
There's an Indiegogo campaign running for another 8 days, so I don't know how fast we can publish this. Today is 23rd. So it finishes at end of November. So if you listen to this before that, please go and spend like $5 or $50 or $500 as you feel like. The money will be very well used. So then there's the surf school. The surf school is down here at the beach. So that school is up in the actual town. And then also they have those workshops for employment of disabled people, not only disabled people,
women,
but women, like, so let's say underprivileged
people who don't have other chances in society.
So it's workshops like one I found very interesting for sure is like waste upcycling. So they make they produce bags out of newspapers, but really nice bags, not the normal ones you get at the shops. And also some, so they make some decorations on them, and then they produce necklaces and hair pins and stuff like that, and from coconuts, like lights and everything. So, so this is what this initiative already does. And so when we were there, we already, as usual, we already got kind of dragged into. So we heard about the crowdfunding campaign, so we pushed it out on Twitter, which already now it rose from $700 to $900. So thanks to all of you who donated there.
Fantastic.
And also another 8 days left, right? So please go ahead. And then we made some spontaneous IT support as usual, and there was a guy playing around with some LED lamps, which we like helped out a bit, and we fixed some things. And then also with those lamps they produce from the coconuts, they have a vendor they give it to, and he's putting on solar lamps, and then he gets the full margin.
Yeah.
So we kind of informed them that it's actually not that much expensive to do this themselves. So the idea came up to use the solar lanterns which we had at Hilex, and maybe that they also start a soldering lab where they can solder them together and use them and as sell them directly as a lamp. So stuff for the future we could imagine with the school is sure, the computer lab, a soldering lab, all this stuff, mobile phone repair, all these things which we also try to have for Hill Hacks. And so it's mainly about the usual lab and tools and teaching how to use those tools. So then another thing is that the idea of having this space, when we watched out for places, we need to watch out for places, but one idea is to have the space in a low-income area. To be helpful and supportive only with the actual fact that we are there. So we know this from Rucker.
Yeah.
People are coming very much to our place and asking us questions, and they need help with the computers. And so having this in a local low-income area, will support like everyone who's just a neighbor.
Often it's not very complicated. It's just basic things like how to manage your waste, how not to, throw stuff onto the beach or the street, and segregate waste, stuff like that. It's very basic things of lifestyle. Which people who've been in a very rural context and now they've got access to plastic and stuff like that and they don't know how to handle it.
Yeah, the waste thing is a mess. I still don't have any solution for that. Yeah. So we started to working on this in Rocker very much, but I myself kind of, I mean, I've not given up, but I will be still working on this, but I've given up on the idea that I will find a solution.
Yeah.
But one can at least care for his own place and for the places around. And
be a model.
I mean, every person who learns about this is already a win.
Yeah.
But we will not solve the waste problem in this country, not of the world. So then another idea we had also already for Dharamshala is producing a map, like going for open street mapping and then making a tourist map. So I know this very much from Germany and other countries. So my city where I come from is also very touristic and they provide this map with a lot of adverts of guest houses and restaurants. And so they give it out for free. And so this could also promote open street map very much. And also on this way you can just introduce very easily the whole idea of the free and open source world on the example of a map, which is very much understandable for the people, and also the whole idea of regaining control of your data and of your environment and like shaping the world.
Also so this, engaging with local businesses, I think that's unique to this sort of activity where you can actually go and speak something relevant to businesses in the area which they'd understand and be interested in.
Yeah, and it might also engage the locals itself by mapping like the local IT community from this city which is close by. And so this would be a project which we can directly start, and it also doesn't need any funds, so we can just go ahead and also get some visibility. Also, once we made a map where we put out all the guest houses and the restaurants and whatever, it can also have a website. And it's also very interesting for the tourists itself, so everyone goes home and knows about OpenStreetMap from that point on. And then another thing is like also organizing this homestay, which we also have in Rucker, so that a model can be very much copy and pasted for the region down here. And it's also helpful for us because in Rucker we have the problem that sometimes there are more people willing to stay for residency than we have rooms.
Yeah.
So then we have those families where we know, okay, they have a nice room, it's close by, and we can just be connected there as well.
Also the most authentic experience, because these are regular families that just live there, and you know, the food's authentic, it's just what they have at home, and you know, the interactions are very local and very genuine, so. And you also make great relationships with them.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Like, I know this from the mountains only so far, but I can imagine it for down here very much as well. Yeah, so the beauty of this place is really on the one hand side, the whole beach, like really imagine it as the picturesque tropical beach with the palms, the coconut trees and the fisher boats. Early in the morning they come in and put their nets in, and if you help them out you get a fish, and you have like beautiful sand, and you can listen to the waves, and also there are spots where there's no waves, so you can learn swimming. Yeah, by the way, the swimming teaching is actually quite interesting, because you guys might not know, like the people from overseas, like the average Indian cannot swim. So everyone who comes here is like actually pretty keen on learning how to swim. So, and then infrastructure-wise, we already mentioned that internet is very much available. 3G, we even had 9 Mbps on 3G down here at the beach. Actually, exactly on this, not exactly on this spot, but like 50 meters away from this spot. And
also, the DSL connections come fairly close to the beach, maybe like 20 meters away from the beach, so.
Yeah, so that is there, and then we have the whole tropical thing. What I found very impressive, you have like, I don't know how many kinds of bananas. I didn't even know that there are different ones.
So there's Palayanthoran, there's Puven, there's Parati, There's a, quite a few. There's Robusta, which is the regular rubbish you get in Europe. Sorry, I'm biased. But
yeah, but I was really surprised that they also sell this ones. They're even green ones. And they're red ones. I've never seen red bananas before. But anyway, regarding the timeline, so what's going to happen next? So first there's this KEK project, which is already... it already exists as an idea and as a like virtual community, I would say.
Yes.
It's not like up and running, not at all. It's
not
just,
quite, yeah.
just an idea.
Very interesting sort
yeah.
of audience already
yeah.
interested and listening and ready
yeah.
to support it.
So regarding this project, by the way, Cherry has some slides which we're also going to link
yes.
Where you can get an idea about this. So then we have this happening now. We are here roaming around, being amazed and being exhausted from Hilex and still working on Hilex or working on our daily work. Just exploring that place and seeing what is possible. And the next thing we just kind of outlined right now
yeah.
is Hilex is going to happen in May, June. And then the next slot would be October, November 2015,
That's
because
right.
then the monsoon has stopped. And the idea is to get together down here October, November-ish ideally to conduct a true event, but at least making some workshops with this local initiative,
yes.
Getting some of those Fisher kids around, together and... being also amongst us, like the usual experts coming together, teaching each other, following up on their projects and showcasing what they do.
Yeah.
I think the idea of Hilex very much copy and pasted.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So October, November, that's the rough timeline.
Yep. And also surfing. And
yeah.
Skating.
Yeah, skating. Those guys learned skating. I was amazed.
Danny
I also
was like a kid.
Yeah, I was
on the
skateboard for the first time since my teenage, and it was really fun. And it was also fun to see those grown-ups learning how to skate.
Yeah.
Because as a kid, you just jump on it and you start. But when you're a grown-up, it's quite a thing. But
yeah.
they did quite well.
And the kids were actually teaching the grown-ups.
Yeah,
so that was interesting.
Yeah, that was very nice. And they were so proud. So, and then, yeah, as said, like long-term-ish, we will be having a space similar to Gomakart Infinity.
Yeah.
And, have this duality
yeah.
copied down here.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
So, yeah,
that's basically it. Thanks for listening. And, then see you down here October, November next year.
Yeah. Namaskaram.